Hey gang, are you looking to make business cards and not quite sure where to go? Maybe you've tried some online sources before and you were not happy with the results? Well, I understand it. Let me tell you about the one that I use and I love. That is Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single-sided, or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com and order your cards, and in the offer code, enter BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. That's Vistaprint.com. Start passing out your cards today.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you have done this week. I had a scattered week, man. I went to Pittsburgh Sunday with Skyrocket to play a show Monday night for this at this convention. We actually played at a really cool venue called Stage AE, which is American Eagle's venue in Pittsburgh. It's about the size of like the big room at House of Blues, if you've ever been there. It's like got that vibe to it. Anyway, nice stage, great, you know, tons of hands, monitor guy, everything that's great about big shows. We were playing a convention where cities were selling themselves to conventions. It was kind of a meta convention. It was a convention for conventions, if that makes sense to you. And we were there with the city of Austin, and we played this big party that had Austin, Houston, Dallas. They all had their regional drinks and all their, you know, local booze and all that stuff and beers. And it was a great time. We had a great time. It was a packed house, great crowd. We put on a great show. We had a great time, and then went and had great drinks in the hotel bar afterwards. There was a lot of convention people there from the party. Hey, man, you guys are here. That was cool. We hung out, did that thing, got up, flew back. But in the midst of all of this, I was supposed to do a couple of podcasts last week that got postponed. And by Saturday, the last podcast postponed, I didn't have any show to put out. So I put together that last show that came out. The episode with Austin Music Foundation's Artist Development Program people has 7 people on there. Alicia Lani, Shy Beast, Superphonicals, Western Youth, Aaron Stevens, Kalu and the Electric Joint, and Otis Wilkins. All great conversations. Go back and check it out if you missed it. Anyway, I made it back from Pittsburgh. It was great. I was pretty tired. I put that show together. I did this podcast just today, the day before I'm putting it out, with this amazing artist. Let me tell you, if you're a fan of The Sword or Doom Side of the Moon, today's a great day for you. I have Kyle Shutt, guitarist from The Sword, and the creator of Doom Side of the Moon. He's got a solo album. A self-titled solo album called Kyle Shutt, coming out in May, where he plays all the instruments. He went into the studio, he had a bunch of songs he didn't think fit with The Sword. He had some songs that he wrote in the studio, and he went in as a one-man guy, one-man band, and did the whole thing himself. It's so exciting when you hear the record. It's very exciting. It's very good. Kyle's a great songwriter. Those songs, these songs have some levity to them. There's a sense of humor in a lot of the lyrics. You know, it gets serious and then something funny comes right back, which I enjoy. And I never met Kyle before. I'd seen The Sword in 2010 at an IFC party at South by Southwest, and I fell in love with them, started listening to them all the time. I remember doing yard work in 2010, listening to The Sword, whatever album it was then. I can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, it was great. And then I kept up with them as it went on. And Adrian Quesada was on the show last year, and we talked about the record that he did with them, because I love that record, too. It was a real departure from their normal sound. Anyway, Kyle's stuff is just absolutely fantastic. It's not necessarily all over the place, but it is more exploratory. He has some songs that are deep rock. He's got some stoner rock tunes. He's got some electronics on there too, some synthesizers, some cool stuff going on. You'll get to hear one of the songs, this song called Big City, which, by the way, if you live in Austin, he's going to be here playing his first show with the band playing these songs live for the very first time at the 13th floor on Monday, January 28th at 10 p.m. And they're doing a video shoot for that song, Big City, which is the song you're going to hear today. I want to thank them for letting us play that first. Anyway, you know, these guys, The Sword, they toured with Metallica for a year. And so we have that in common. We have some Metallica conversations. And also, speaking of conversations and stories, real quick, Kyle's going to be doing Altercation Road Stories from January 24th, January 25th, January 26th, and January 27th. He will be playing in Houston, Dallas, Hot Springs, Fort Worth. Check it out. Find out Altercation Road Stories. I don't know exactly where to go, but you can find Kyle Shutt on Instagram. Find him there. Keep up with him. See what's going on. His record's fantastic. I can't wait for you guys to hear the whole thing. But you know what? Before we talk to him, here's a little taste of Kyle Shutt and his solo album. Please enjoy our conversation. Let's get down. Is there a name for this record, or is it just
my solo album?
Yeah,
it's just Kyle, I figured Shutt? I'd start from the ground floor and just call it Kyle Shutt.
All right, no, it's
self-titled. Yeah, I had many thoughts about whether to do a new band or this or that or whatever, and I remember just thinking, you know, what if it was just my name? You know, that way that's there's no argument about, you know, who to blame if it sucks or or whatever. But it then became weird because, like, instead of like having a new band and that being a thing, like now my name is like a thing.
Yeah.
So then, like, who am I? You know, yeah. That's weird.
Well, you know what? Judging by the album, which, by the way, it's really great, man, and it's exciting to listen to someone who makes a record all by themselves in a room. You know what I mean? I've done that.
Yeah.
And there's something super gratifying about it because I don't know if you grew up like recording on your own and stuff. You kind of do. That's how you end up learning how to play drums, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I always too. I would love just like jamming on whatever drummers that with bands that I was in, like on their kit, you know, when they weren't around and stuff. So I've always kind of just like dabbled in other things, but I never made a record 100% by myself before. So that was super fun.
Yeah. Was it, did you ever at any point get like, oh man, what am I doing? Am I crazy?
Absolutely. I still feel that way. I feel like, I made the biggest mistake in the world, and my best friends are all going to be there to help me through it, you know?
Yeah, no, you did a great job. You didn't make a mistake. You really did a very, very healthy choice. The Sword is on hiatus.
It is. Yeah, so who knows when we will pick up our instruments again. But
well, you guys have been working really hard for like a decade now, right?
We were foot to gas for like 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty intense, you know, because I was 25 when we started touring around, and then I'm 35 now, so it's like, just like, whoa.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Like you step out of a van one day and be like, holy shit, I'm old.
Yeah.
We have a kid, you know, some of us have kids now too and stuff, so it's just, it's very different than it was when we first started, so we thought we'd take a little break, let things cool off a little bit. We do have a retrospective coming out though this year, so it'll be like a bunch of B-sides and stuff and recordings, like old stuff that never had gotten released before. So
oh, that's killer.
There'll be that to look forward to. I don't have any other details other than that, but we're not stopping. It's just, it was time to park it for a minute.
Sure, man. I totally understand that. I first saw you guys at an IFC party at South by Southwest.
Oh my God, in that tiny little room they blacked out.
Was it like 10 years ago or something? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Oh my God.
It was a long time ago. Well, that's why I very first heard you guys. And I flipped out and have been following you ever since. And we actually, you guys toured with Metallica, right?
We did. That show would have been right after that whole tour wrapped up, probably. Because I think that was the show, the South By, right before Warp Riders came out.
Oh,
and we had just finished recording it, I think. Yeah.
Maybe so.
Something like that. I can't remember.
I was in a band that was signed to Lars's label when he had one.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was my band was called Gowdy, my last name.
Oh, word.
Yeah. Anyway, he's an interesting guy. Did you get to spend some time with him?
Yeah, he was the one that actually befriended us before they even took us on tour or anything. We had heard, it's a funny story. We had heard in a roundabout way that he was a fan of ours. And so we just started putting him on our guest list, you know, just as a joke. And it was like an article in Rolling Stone or something like that, where we heard that, that he said that he liked us. But we didn't know if it was like the publicist just telling him what to say or right, whatever. Right. You know, you never know what to think. But yeah, whenever that tour got to San Francisco, he totally came to the show and hung out and was a true gentleman. And yeah. Helped us load our van at the end of the night. And,
that's kept awesome. Promising,
like, we're going to take you on tour. We're going to take you on tour. We're like, yeah, right. And then like 6 months later, we tour through San Francisco again. This is on the Age of Winners tour, like 2006 maybe. And he was, after the show, like all the bars were closed. So he's like, all right, we're going to my house. Let's go. So we went to his place. And
T-Barone.
Yeah. And yeah. Just partied all night. Just like smoked hash out of antique. The smoke pieces that were hanging on the wall, and yeah. Just drank like two bottles of Patron, got wasted. It was awesome. But yeah, he was just like, we're going to take you on tour. I was like, yeah, right. And then, but sure shit, like about a year later, they put out Death Magnetic and they took us on tour. They offered us the first of three slot for as long as we wanted it for a 2.5 year tour. And we made it about a year in before we were like, okay, hey guys, you don't realize like how hard it is to keep up with a band like that. You know, like they're huge. They've been doing this for like, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
And they're just such a well-oiled machine, but putting on a show that big, you know, and trying to keep up with it, you know, we lasted about 100 shows, like doing that from anywhere from Perth to Istanbul and like everywhere in between.
Jesus.
You know, so it was crazy. It was super generous of them to do that. And when we quit, or we didn't quit, but we told them, like, guys, we can't do it anymore. And they were like, oh, man, we didn't think you'd last 6 months. It's been a year. Go home. Go home. Here's some iPod speakers. Congratulations. Go home. It was funny.
Man, that makes me think the song Barcelona on your new album is a great road song. Was that written in that time, or was that just a random... Was that written there?
That you said that. That was one of the more like songs on the record where I was like, what am I doing? Is anyone gonna give a shit about this?
But
it's actually most of the record is pretty straightforward lyrically, you know, like not like hidden in a lot of imagery and stuff. But that song is actually it was a letter to my cat that I had for many, many years, Bug. And I basically just left her with any number of people in any number of situations for, you know, years when I was on tour. And I kind of felt bad for that. But she just passed recently. Actually, I was on tour.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. She was 17. She was old. It was time. But I loved her very much. And yeah, that song is about my cat. You would never know it really by like.
No, I thought it was this road
stuff,
song.
But
you're talking about touring with Metallica, and I'm like, ooh, what a great segue.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, like, it was like a thing like, well, you know, I'm in Barcelona, sorry. And the next one, you know, being on tour with Metallica is so crazy, I liken it to like being on the moon, you know, so the second verse, you're on the moon. And then the third verse, we're in heaven because, you know, we're both dead. So, it was just a letter to my cat.
So you're out driving around with your wife and your kid in an RV in America?
I am. Yeah. We bought a truck and an Airstream and just got the hell out of Austin. We're just the next in a long line of people that couldn't afford to live there anymore, so we just bounced. It was actually cheaper to buy an Airstream and a truck and hit the road and go on like an epic like cross country road trip than it was to like, you know, get anything in town and stuff. It broke my heart because I loved Austin and you know, spent almost 20 years there, but we're sitting here on the Oregon coast right now. I don't know if you can see it, but I'm staring right at the edge of the world.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, we just thought, you know, if we're going to have to
you're not doing
bounce,
bad.
Might as well go. No, we're not doing bad.
It's no. So let's talk. You know what? I want to point this one thing out. Big City, the song that opens the record. has a great synth line in it. It's awesome. And it also has like the best opening line of a song I've heard in a long time. Sometimes I want to jump on a cliff. Before I do, will you roll me a spliff? That is awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
It was actually, I didn't know what to, because like nobody's ever heard me sing before, you know, so I didn't. I started to obsess with like, well, what's the first thing they're going to hear out of my mouth? You know, so then all of all the songs, I thought that one was just had the best, you know, like kind of feel for my attitude towards life.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, if that was your, no one's heard you sing. So it's not necessarily probably your first foray into singing, but it is publicly, right? I mean, you've been in the Sword for 15 years.
Yeah, I've sung backups, you know, a lot. And me and Alex Marrero and Joe Cornetti sang in the Doom Side of the Moon project that I did.
Right.
But, you know, this will be the first time that I'm just front and center, the guy singing.
Yeah. Do you feel weird?
Pretty nuts.
Is there a little like vulnerability to it that makes you like, you know, there's something about being able to stand back with your guitar a couple feet back, and singing backups a whole different thing.
Oh,
and singing a song here and there, but being Kyle Shutt, like on the marquee with the people coming in, and then you got to sing, and you're like, I don't want to make you nervous.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. You're making me nervous, man. No, for sure. I've been just like feeling this way, but I usually end up doing things like this anyway, like putting myself in a position of like being really nervous, and like I like when the stakes are high. It just kind of like, you know, makes me feel alive. It's just fun. I'm about to do this series of stand-up dates with JT Haversat. He does a Road Stories thing where he makes us just stand on the stage, you know, like a stand-up and with a microphone and tell our road adventures. So I've done that a few times, and doing that definitely helped with the nerves of feeling like, oh, geez, I'm just the only one singing right now. Like there, you don't even have a guitar. You know,
yeah, there you're just talking.
You could just die on stage, man.
Yeah,
I did one time. It sucked. I feel for comics, but us dudes in bands doing it, it's like almost like cheating. Like we have so much ammunition.
Yeah.
For like road hilarity.
Do you have stories? Know? Like, have you been kind of going through them? Are you going to the same venues? Like you're doing, real quickly, January 24th, you're doing Rudyard's in Houston. January 25th, you're doing Three Links and Deep Ellum in Dallas. And then there's more dates out of that. People can find you on Instagram. You got a little ad for it there.
Yeah. At Kyle Shutt.
At Kyle Shutt, baby.
See my hilarious adventures. The Road Stories thing it's always a good time. I think we're doing another one in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which has a very special guest that I don't think I'm allowed to announce, but that I'm really excited about. And it's always a lot of fun. And then after that, we're doing a show January 28th. I'll be doing my first solo gig show. It's going to be at the bar 13th Floor. On 12th and Chacon on January 28th at 10 p.m. We're going to film a video for the song Big City too there. So anybody who wants to come out, that would be a really fun one.
Man, if I'm not playing, I would love to come there. And you're filming a video?
Uh-huh. And it's going to be, like the first time we ever play any of these songs live. So it's going to be a good time, but I'm super nervous about it.
so you've got a band that you're going to be playing this with.
Yeah, I tricked a bunch of my friends into doing it with me, and we're going to see how it goes. I wanted the first show to be at the smallest bar I could imagine, where it would be totally inappropriate for a band to be playing, and that would be the 13th floor. My friend John Yocklin and Nick Yocklin's new bar on 12th and Chacon. It's great. And we're going to blow the joint out on a Monday night. It's going to be really fun.
That's awesome. I will come. I bet Alex will come too, huh?
I hope so. Yeah. Anybody who wants to be in the video, come or crowd around outside. It's hopefully the cops get called and it'll be a whole thing.
Yeah. I just recently became friends with Alex, man. He's actually the guy that connected us. He's a fantastic musician.
He's also a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he's really a stand-up
hanging
guy.
Out with him, playing music with him. And he's a great dude. We met doing the Brown Sabbath show at the Moody.
Okay.
They asked me to fill in for like two songs, and they were like, you know, five songs apart on the set, and they were just like, once I was up there sound checking with them, they were like, do you know any of these other songs? I was like, dude, I could play any Black Sabbath song like right now. So I ended up playing like six or seven songs with them that night, and we just kind of hit it off and ended up doing the Doom Side of the Moon, the little Pink Floyd heavy metal laser show.
Talk to me about that.
That we did.
Yeah.
It was just, it was an idea I had when I was really stoned one day. I was just like, man, nobody wants to hear a solo album. I'm just going to do like a, you know, like a heavy metal, like Pink Floyd cover band with like lasers, man. You know, and it was, it started off as just like a joke, but then soon I was like, yeah, we'll have glasses to make it look all crazy. And then it was, it just became this thing that was sort of bigger than myself. So I had to call in like the A team to make it happen. Basically, it's a huge crew. It's like, it takes to do it right, it takes like 13 people. And yeah, it's like a whole production. It's fantastically expensive, but it is fun. And we took it on a little mini tour, and it was super fun. The show in Brooklyn was especially
fun,
and especially good time. But
let me ask you this. When you're doing something like that, it's so different than what you're going to do when you go to the 13th floor, right? You're going to the smallest place. You're going to be in the corner, that little corner stage there. Much louder than that room or PA should probably allow, judging by what I've heard from your solo record. But when you go do this Doom Side of the Moon thing, you're taking a step into something that would be a little more like theater than fucking rock band.
Totally, because we have like wardrobe and
yeah, so you guys all in white,
such a crew,
and stuff?
Such a production,
yeah.
And the light and the video in tandem. Yeah, it's a whole thing. So I was like, for the solo project, because then once I did the Doom Side of the Moon, I was like, okay, maybe I'll do the solo project now.
Yeah, and maybe I'll be a guy that can wear his tennis shoes, jeans, and a t-shirt, and fucking just plug into his thing and play.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I was, the whole point was like the smallest bar you could imagine, like the smallest club. Like if I book a tour, it's going to be only at the smallest clubs. Have you toured much? I apologize.
Yeah. No, toured a lot.
You ever
yeah.
play the Empty Bottle in Chicago?
No, I
it's
played.
Like,
what's the
that
place?
Small.
What was the place? Double Door was. Or no, double. No.
Double Door.
Double
yeah,
Door. It's gone.
That
now,
held
right?
about 400. Yeah. Empty Bottle held about 150. And I was like, you ever seen the Double Wide in Dallas?
Yeah. I played.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Like that.
A few
that
times.
Small.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So. Well, we'll see how it goes. I heard Rubber Gloves is coming back, so maybe we could do it at Rubber Gloves.
Oh, yeah, that might be cool.
In Denton. But, the solo album. Who knew in 2019?
Who knew in 2019 that that's what Kyle Shutt would be doing? Let's talk a little bit more about it.
Until about 6 months ago, yeah.
There is like a very Sabbath-y doom jam in there, the song Awake. I thought was cool and heavy.
Yeah, that was it was kind of a leftover Sword demo that never went anywhere. That was one of the few things. Most of the album was made up on the spot, except for that one and a little bit of like a couple of others. And then a lot of the lyrics had been like start like one or two lines would have been started, and so I would just use those to kind of like flesh out some lyrics for the stuff. So most of it came together really fast, but that was. Awake was one of the ones that musically was pretty much there because it was so simple. It was more about vibe. Mm-hmm. I just wanted walls of guitars, big separated drum sound. I wanted to like experiment with drum programming with this record too, like a couple of times because I was just, I don't know, I've made a lot of albums at this point and I just want to keep doing things that I haven't done before or keep experimenting and just seeing what happens, you know?
You have a song, Set You All on Fire. Is that one with
it
program
is.
Drums?
That was one. Yeah. I was like, listen, we're going full Stigmata on this one, man.
Yeah.
I just want, yeah. And I still feel like I didn't achieve, as much of an abrasive thing as I wanted, but it was probably a good thing. I don't know. I wanted to just, see what happens when you make a drum loop and mix it right and then send it through a maxed out preamp and just, you know, I could just kind of experiment with the rhythm section that way because I'm no drummer, honestly. Like I can play the drums, you know, okay. You know, and you know, you have to, just like any drummer, when you make a record, they're, you know, edited and things. So I didn't want to like let some sort of ego performance thing like get in the way where I'm like, no, I have to play
right,
drums
right.
perfectly or something. Yeah. Like, nah, man, we're here making records, you know, let's have fun with it and experiment and do some weird things. And I didn't want the whole album to sound exactly the same from beginning to finish too. So having some program stuff in there, I thought would just kind of make it a little more dynamic. It was fun. You know, adding some keyboards here and there. And
yeah. There's some cool, there's like some cool
making up a lot
stuff
of solos.
On there. Yeah. Let me ask you this. When you said you went in there and you didn't have any ideas, you were writing and recording at the same time in the studio, just kind of like, did you have an engineer or...
Yeah, Stuart Sykes.
Oh, yeah, that guy's great. Orange. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's engineered some of my favorite albums of all time, and he's also done a lot of work for The Sword. He did the Doom Side of the Moon project, too.
Oh, awesome.
So it was I've been working with him for a while. And it's funny, the place that I did the solo album, his current studio, used to be this guy, Mark Nathan's studio, which is where my old hardcore band with Joey Cortez and Craig Moore, Sea of Thousand, recorded our album there. I guess that would have been 15 years ago now, like right before The Sword started.
Wow.
So it was like, man, I've been recording in that room a lot.
Yeah, your whole life.
My whole life.
Yeah, where are you from, man?
I was born in San Antonio and grew up in South Texas. And when I was about 8 years old, my family moved out to Midland, Odessa area.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole Friday Night Lights thing is, it's like totally real.
Yeah, it is real.
Like it's not a TV show. Like that is a true thing. Like 20,000 people show up to a high school football game. It's nuts.
It's the middle of nowhere.
I know, in the middle of nowhere. But when I was about 17, I got really sick of that. I had been kind of gigging with a ska band as a trombone player from the time I was 15 to
really?
About 17. Yeah. And they were kind of older. They were like 20, 21. That I don't really.
It's like late 90s ska or something.
Parents. Yeah. You know, like Real Big Fish and yeah, Goldfinger yeah, were real yeah. big at the time yeah, yeah. And Less Than Jake. And that was just kind of what you did. And it was just an excuse for me to like hop in a van. We didn't tour really. It was just like long weekends, you know, or tri-state kind of stuff. But
how did you end up learning trombone and stuff like that? Was that like in school?
In the high school band, okay. Because in the, like I said, the whole Friday Night Lights thing, you either played football or you were in the marching band.
Ass kicked left and right.
Right, yeah. You know. I was like, I'm not going for the ass kicking.
No.
Surrounded by 600 other people.
You played trombone first and then picked up guitar, or?
Well, I had played guitar for a while, but they didn't. The only way to play guitar in school back then was a jazz band.
Right. Yeah.
And I couldn't read guitar music. I was just like, this is too much, man. I just want to rock.
When you want to rock, jazz band is just not the place. I had that same, like, it was
it's
like
really
a,
not,
a,
you know.
I can't remember what it was called, but it was some kind of like thing like that. And some, yeah, it was not my scene. They didn't like me. Like the guy that taught the class wasn't into me. I wasn't into him. It was like one of those things.
Right,
was like,
yeah,
yeah, dude, we'll figure something out here.
No, I took guitar lessons from this dude in Midland. That looking back on it, like he was such a bad influence on me. Like as a kid, he was trying to teach me Bach, and I would say like, you know, like, can you show me how to play this, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers song or something? And he would tell me, like, you just skip the tab books, kid. They write it out for you. I'm not going to teach you this. And I was like, I can't afford the tab books. Like, and he goes, well, just stick it under your shirt and walk out of the store. He was, like, teaching me how to, like, shoplift when I was, like, 14. So that's how I got a lot of my song books. But, yeah, he was a funny guy. I would always, his house would like smell like weed, but I didn't know what weed was at the time.
Right.
You know, so he'd just be like, oh, sorry, man, I think there's a skunk in here again. But there was always like a skunk living under his house, and it wasn't like till like a year or two later that I was like, oh, that's what that is. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Then he started going by. He's like, hey, you back for a guitar lesson? And you're like, no, man, I was wondering if I could buy some weed from you, bro. So when did you get, you played trombone with the ska bands or with the ska band in Midland. And then what was your next move?
I pretty much knew I didn't want to go to college. But that was about the only way out of Midland at the time. Yeah. So I tried to go to school at UT for about 6 weeks. It just didn't work out.
That's
yeah, I was
a good
just
one.
Like, man, this is so not for me.
What
I ended
you...
up moving into the Pearl Street Co-op.
Yeah.
On like it's Pearl and MLK basically.
Yeah.
And that was really, really fun. I tried to go to ACC for about 2 weeks and didn't really work out either. I just wanted to hang out by the pool and smoke weed about it. And and play guitar. So like once I made that decision, I got a job at the TCBY on MLK and Mofaka. Yeah, and this is maybe like 2000, 2001. And yeah, I just went to every show. I basically lived at Emo's and just hung out at Sound Exchange every day because I worked right there. And
yeah.
I eventually got a job across the street at a place that's not there anymore called IT Copy. And so I was like the photocopy zine punk kid that like just made everybody's photocopies, traded it for like weed or getting into shows or whatever, you know, like, yeah. So it was,
before those places became the man, you had to get some card. There was, I remember like even in like the late 80s, I lived in Houston and I had a band and like you, it was all like you bring the guy a joint and he'd give you like 200 fucking flyers and you were fine.
Oh, totally.
You, yeah. You went to the 24 hour place. He went there at like 1 a.m. Talk to the guy there, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. Ben Snake Pit, that was how... Do you know that guy at all, Ben White?
No. Bass player?
He's been doing a zine forever almost 20 years. But I printed a lot of his zines back in the day and stuff. So, yeah, it was a good time. But the sword eventually, finally, like, caught fire enough to where when we were talking about being on tour with Metallica, when they finally took us out, it was like there was no way I could go back to my job. And so it was, I had to bid the day job adieu for, it was almost 10 years before I took up another job.
Yeah.
Being on the road full time with the sword. Yeah. It was crazy.
Were you guys like in a bus with Metallica or were you in a van?
Yeah. I mean, we've toured every single way you could conceivably think about touring, you know, from just van, no trailer, just four dudes, all the way up to a big crew with like flying around and taking boats here and there, and just you know, it's nuts. But the Metallica tour, that was mostly on a bus. They did invite us onto their private jet a couple of times. That was really nice of them, and we had some really fun times with those guys. They were very, very generous. Anybody that has anything negative to say about those dudes just doesn't know. They're jealous.
Yeah, I have that same feeling. Like, but I come from a different, completely different world of music too. So people are always like, "Ah, oh, that fucking," and I'm like, "Man, that guy was always so nice to me."
I know, right?
Yeah. Anyway, he's a nice guy when he's a fan of your band, and when he's a fan.
Exactly, and also anybody has the capacity to be a total butthole.
That is true. You know, Kyle.
Like anybody.
Yeah. You don't seem like you're... How old is your kid?
Almost two.
Almost
She'll
two.
She'll be two in about a month. Yeah.
How did that change you?
I don't know. Because I didn't feel like I'd changed. Because I kept waiting for some massive change
or something.
You know, it doesn't really... I just have a daughter now and I care about her and I love her very much. And that's just everything I do now is just kind of... has her in mind also.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But we might be getting vacuumed upon.
Yeah.
Might mess up the audio. I don't know. Can you hear anything?
I can hear someone vacuuming. I thought someone was sawing a person in half or something. I don't know what's going on over there. So as far as this as Kyle Shutt the album goes, you think you'll be dropping late April, early May?
I made the release date my birthday, May 6th, if anybody wants to get me anything. Right. I just figured that would be appropriate. And also, it would give me enough time to make sure I had the vinyl done because, God, it's a pain in the ass, you know what I mean? Like having to wait 4 months for just some wax because there's only a couple places in the world that actually manufacture the stuff. So it's.
Are you doing it at that place here, Gold Rush, or no?
No, I've been wanting to try them. I might do it for a tour run or something like that. I've been using Gotta Groove out of Cleveland.
Okay.
They have the Wax Mage side of their label too, which is like really small handmade presses of like crazy looking records. They like hand do the wax and then press it by hand. So you can only get about 50 of them at a time.
Some of them are even less.
Yeah, they'll only do like 30 or whatever. So, you know, it's fun for the collectors. And I feel bad though because it sells out immediately. And then what, you have to wait another 4 months?
Right.
Four more records.
If you're lucky, because I know some people that have waited like 9 and stuff like that.
You know, like Neurosis was a famous case of, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to. Like they had a whole record release coming out. I can't remember what label it was on. Might have been Relapse. I mean, it was probably Relapse. But they had ordered 5,000 albums. And I'm not going to say who it was with. But they, and, you know, they had sold, I think, almost all of them, like as a pre-order. You know what I mean? And then the record pressing plant said, hey, sorry, we're not going to be able to press those records. The Beatles want like 500,000 records pressed. So we've been waiting for this call forever. So I'm really sorry about your 5,000 albums. So then, yeah, Neurosis had to like delay their whole thing. But it was just like, oh, man, it's not that's rude of me to talk about other people's business. But that was basically just saying that it's tough getting vinyl to, you know, be manufactured in a timely manner or on time, because you might get delayed or whatever, you know. It's just, and that's like a lot of people's interest lies in that. So then you end up, this is all, nobody cares.
I do.
This is this is the part of the putting the out sausage records is totally boring, which is like, 99% of it.
So have you done the artwork and stuff?
Oh, it's all done. Okay. I had a it's, I don't know if I should talk about it. I should leave it a surprise. Here, I'll talk about it and then I won't announce it for a little bit. It's a, I had a, I'll just give you a clue. I had a velvet painting commissioned.
Okay, that's amazing,
so,
by the way.
Yeah, I'll leave it there.
Okay, that's fantastic.
And it looks, I'm so happy with it. Oh, my God. Yeah, because, like, you can't mimic a velvet painting in Photoshop. I don't know, maybe you can if you're good enough. But I was like, no, I want it to be like a photograph of a real velvet painting, you know. And so I had to, it's kind of hard to do. Nobody really does it these days except this one guy. And I called him up, and he didn't really answer me for a while, so I thought it was a lost cause. But then at the last minute, he was like really into the idea and just banged it out. It looks awesome. I cannot wait unveil it. Yeah,
that's awesome. You know, there's something about this record. Also, you have a great sense of humor, and there is sort of a lightness to the record. You know what I mean? Lyrically, and, you know what I mean? Like, you have a sense of humor.
I try to keep it, you know, like, I like being in a good mood. I have the capacity to get a little down sometimes, and the parts of the record do kind of dip, but, you know, it's, I try to keep my just kind of positive mental attitude through it. And, I deal with a lot of things that I'm unhappy with through humor a lot. So it's kind of like where a lot of it comes from.
To follow a line with sometimes I want to jump off a cliff, which that's a pretty heavy thing to say, but. Before I go, will you roll me a spliff? Is like, that guy's cool. I wouldn't mind hanging out with that guy and talking to him for a while.
Yeah, the chorus of that song is just "Hey Now," which I felt kind of weird about. But then I wanted to explore like just melody and syllables and songwriting and stuff like that, just because it was all going to be me. So that was kind of, and it was funny. Now I want to make a shirt that on the back it says "Hey Now, how, how, how."
You ever watch
when people read it and go, what the hell is that? Like, I don't know, don't ask me.
So guys, you can catch Kyle Shutt from The Sword and Doom Side of the Moon, and now solo artist Kyle Shutt on the Altercation Road Stories tour with JT Habersat, January 4th to 27th. January 24th they'll be in Houston at Rudyard's, January 25th Dallas at Three Links. You'll be in Hot Springs. Is that what you said?
Yeah. No. Well, actually, the Three Link show in Dallas is the early show. The late show will be at a place called Main at Southside, Fort Worth. Okay. So it's kind of like two shows in one day. And then the 26th will be in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at a place called Low Key Arts, and it's going to be awesome. All the shows are, you know, they're like $7 to $10 to get in. You know, and you hear me and Mike Wiebe from Riverboat Gamblers and JT just tell ridiculous tour stories. Our friend Dirty Charlie is going to open up the night with some songs about bourbon and babes and Beelzebub. We're just going to be four dorks in a car driving around telling ridiculous antics that we got up, you know, into while we were on tour. So I'm going to drop some Metallica stories, I'm going to tell it all. I don't care anymore. What do I have to lose? Sue me. Whatever.
You know what we should do? Some night you and I should get together and just do Metallica stories, talk just alone.
All night. Because I'm sure you have a bunch.
Yeah.
If you're on Lars's label.
I don't have Metallica stories. I have Lars stories. I don't.
Oh, that's half the
those
game
guys
there.
I met once. Yeah. Yeah.
The other guys are so generous. It's one of my favorite moments. I don't know. I'll end you with this one. Maybe. Right. Or we don't have to stop. I don't know. I'll talk all day.
No, please care. Do. Please do.
Keep rolling. One of my favorite moments of hanging out with all those guys was after playing over 100 shows together and all this. We were on a mini tour on the way to Baltimore to record Apocryphon, our fourth album. Mm-hmm. But the last show of the mini tour was the first Metallica festival they were having, the Orion Fest,
right,
that they did in Atlantic City. And that was going to be the last show before we recorded Apocryphon. And right before they wanted, we saw our slot and we're like, you have us on as the first band on this stage? Like, that's come on, guys. You know, like, I thought we were cool. You know, and then we found out that they wanted us to be the first band to ever play their festival. It was like a thing where they like, they're like, we want the first band to open up the whole festival to be our favorite band in the world. And we're like, I don't know if you're just telling me that, but okay, it worked. And so right before we're going on, it's like, you know, this festival just started. There's, you know, a few thousand people kind of like piling in front of us. And we turn around and Hetfield's there. I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And then while I'm talking to him, he was sent as a decoy because Trujillo went on the stage. And right before we went on to like introduce us, and he basically told a whole story about just like how we, you know, toured together for so long and everything, and how he was like, "Man, don't party with the sword, man. These guys will smoke you under the table, man. Just ask Kirk." And he just went on to tell this whole story about Metallica. I had this one song that they released as like that little follow up EP to Death Magnetic. He was like, this is one of the songs that was going to make the album, that like one of the first songs we wrote because we love the sword and we were listening to him a bunch. And this is us basically just ripping off the sword. It was like, it was crazy him telling this whole story in front of like Hetfield and wow, everything, and in front of like all these fans. And then he was like, everybody the sword. And it was crazy. I was just like, man, you guys are so nice.
That's a great story.
Why are you so nice to us?
Well, man, you guys, the Sword's a great band, and listen, your solo album's absolutely fantastic, and anybody listening should make sure that they get out and see you on Monday, January 28th, 10 p.m., 13th floor. It's a video shoot for the song Big City, first song on the album.
I really can't believe it's going to happen, yeah. I was just like, one of my like life philosophies is just to like make plans for myself, and then just that way that I have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm like, oh, yep, crap. Like, just make some crazy plan for yourself.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to do it, you know, because otherwise I would just sit around doing nothing. I mean, I'm in Oregon right now at the end of the world, and there's like weed stores like a mile from my house. Like,
oh, that's, you know, awesome.
I mean, if I didn't make crazy plans for myself, I would just sit around getting stoned looking at the ocean all day.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made those plans, because I think this is going to be a great show. I'll be there for sure. And I would love to see you at those Altercation Road Stories, but hopefully you'll do one in Austin sometime.
We've done it in Austin before, and it's just JT, like, he does so many events and everything. I just let him plan it all. You know, it's always the classic thing where people are like, oh, man, come to Detroit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
come to Austin.
Yeah.
Whatever. We've done it in Austin before at Kick Butt Coffee on Airport. Great coffee.
Yeah, that's a great place for that kind of. I've seen some stand up there. It's been good.
Totally. I love it there. The whole stage they put it in and everything is just awesome. And but hopefully we'll do it in Austin again one day. But Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Hot Springs.
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Get to party this time. I know. You know, it's an awesome little town. I'd never been there until about 6 months ago. The Sword played there for the first time ever. And yeah, it was this little place, Maxine's. It was just like such a sick show. It took me right back to playing like Room 710 back in the day in Austin or something.
Yeah.
You know, just it was a lot of fun. But
are you in South by Southwest? Did you submit? Are you planning to do Kyle Shutt?
No, that is a funny idea though. I hadn't really thought of that. It's
need me to be your
usually,
manager, man.
I do need.
I'll talk like
manager.
Lars for you, dude. You gotta fucking play South by Southwest.
No, we because like the Sword had a whole like no South by rule for like many years because, you know, it's a fest for we have a weird opinion because it is a festival that totally worked out for us back when we were unknown, and then it became this whole crazy thing. I remember in like 2004 maybe it was like Beastie Boys were like playing Stubbs.
Yeah.
For like South by, and I was like, wait a minute, isn't this South by Southwest? Like, what Beastie Boys are playing? What's going on? And it just from there, it just got out of control for a few years. It feels now like that it's kind of back to what it used to be like.
Yeah.
Where it's like 2,000 bands nobody's ever heard of and not as many like, you know, crazy A-listers or whatever coming in. But it was fun for me to do like events for a while. That's how I ended up with my signature Reverend guitar.
Yeah.
Was I did a benefit for the Children's Cancer Association. They had a fest or like a thing they did at the Fader Fort every year, which was like a show for kids from like 9 to 11 a.m. and it was free. You know, it's just part of South By. And Chris Funk from the Decemberists, he like hosted the whole thing and had me come in to do like this air guitar battle.
Oh, that's cool.
With this kid, like they had like a Bluetooth air guitar wristband. Where they would play it and it would just like make cool air guitar sounds, you know? And,
that's awesome.
So like I was going to have like a real guitar and like have this battle, you know, like shredding against this kid with a Bluetooth air guitar. But in my head, I was like, I want this kid to win and then get the guitar. So I was like, I'm not giving away one of my guitars. Sorry. But, you know, I was like somebody. And then so Chris hooked me up with Reverend, who gave me a flat rock, which and it ended up playing really well. I was like, this guitar is nice. And so this little girl was playing the air guitar battle against me, and whenever she won, I handed her the guitar, and her parents and her like had no idea I was going to do that. And they were just like, just boom, you know, I got like a million karma points, and it was fun. I basically absolved all my South By sins.
No, you didn't. It's not that easy.
Maybe half.
It's not
maybe
that half. Easy, buddy.
And yeah, I ended up just talking to Reverend after that and just becoming friends and designing a guitar with him and just having fun. So
yeah, that guitar looks really cool.
So thank you very much. Yeah. So South by Southwest has been very kind to me, but I usually try to stay away just because it's so crazy and there's so many bands trying for attention. I mean, it's like, you know, I've been one of the lucky ones. I don't mind slugging it out without, you know, South by.
Yeah, well, it might be nice to get up in front of some press and stuff with your new band. I don't know if you're there yet. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it.
I do need a better manager. Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, look, I've never done it before, but I
did it one time. Like a nice guy. American Sharks for a little while, and I learned that it's managing a band is like being in the band, except you don't get to do like the one thing that's cool about being in the band.
Yeah,
being in the band.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. When I was talking to Lars a long time ago when we were on his label, and we were talking, I was asking, like, you know, why did you start a label? You know, what's your thing? And so he was like, I wanted to, you know, do some other shit, you know? And he wanted to, he was thinking about being a manager, and his manager was like, you're not going to answer the fucking phone when someone calls you at 3 a.m, like, and you have to get up and do something. Like, you know, it's not like you're calling him like, hey, meet me downstairs. You know, the guy's coming or whatever. It would be like, you know, real problems he'd have to solve. And then he was like, oh, so if I had a label, I could still be like, it's laid back, not have to deal with it all.
Lars is crazy, man. He works hard. He works hard all day pretty much. So but he plays hard, but yeah, he does. He's a hardworking man.
Yeah.
Playing, I mean, even if you can say what you want about his drumming or whatever, you know, but like playing a Metallica set, for like a 2-hour set.
Dude, watching
Metallica songs. Nobody could do that.
Watching,
you know,
their,
what I mean, that's so hard.
Yeah, I saw their ACL set and was like astonished. I was like, wow, they're older than me. I mean, I'm 50. Those guys, I mean, fuck, that's hard. They're playing real fast.
I mean, when I say nobody and running, could do that, I don't mean like real drummers. I just meant like any dumb shit talkers. There was this one time where Lars was sick and a bunch of like guest drummers had to fill in, and Dave Lombardo played battery, and it was probably the most badass thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Yeah, I bet there were some pretty cool dudes up there.
It was really insane.
Well, man, I've had a great time talking to you, Kyle. I hope get to meet you in person.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. I want to thank Alex Marrero for hooking us up. And no plans for Doom Side of the Moon 2019?
Not official currently. Plans? We do have some unreleased material that maybe I'll release as a fun video or something, you know, but for the time being, the solo thing is
the main thing.
Is number one. All right, it's just fun.
If you live in Austin, come out Monday, January 28th, 10 p.m., 13th floor. He'll be doing a video shoot for his song, Big City. First song on the new album, Kyle Shutt. Hey, what song can I play on here on the show?
Oh, you're going to play Big City. It'll be fun.
Okay, that'll be great. Well, man, thank you so much for doing the show. And
thanks, bud.
Yeah, people can find you on Instagram and on Twitter. Kyle Shutt.
Again. Yeah. Yes, sir, man. I really appreciate it, Johnny.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for doing the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle Shutt from the Sword and Doom Side of the Moon, his debut solo album, Kyle Shutt, will be dropping on May 6th. You can see him and his band doing a show and a video shoot for that song that you just heard right there called Big City on January 28th. That's a Monday, 10 p.m. at 13th Floor here in Austin. He'll also be doing the Altercation Road Stories with JT Haberstadt from January 24th to January 27th. Get out there and find out when you can go see this fabulous dude. He's a great storyteller. Had a great time talking to him, getting to know him a little bit. Looking forward to meeting him again. All right? I want to thank my friend Alex Marrero for hooking that up for me. All right? And don't forget, gang, while you're out there checking out stuff about Kyle Shutt, you can always subscribe to this podcast anywhere you find podcasts: iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, anywhere. You'll get a new show every Tuesday, every Friday. Well, this week, the one came out Thursday, next one came out Friday. That's the first time that's happened in years. So anyway, every Tuesday, every Friday, new show, me talking to another musician. Great time. Kyle Shutt, let's hear the rest of this great song, Big City, all right? Has that great line. I liked it. Sometimes I want to jump off a cliff. Before I do, will you roll me a spliff? Yeah, that's Big City. Kyle Shutt. From the Sword and Doom Side of the Moon. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.